the chairperson, Dr. Muhammad Naik, Swamiji, Pralagananda, Professor Shakirul Naik, Sri Avi Abdul Rahman, the dignitaries, Teresa in the dais, my dear sisters and brothers. I'm very extremely happy to join in this inter-religious dialogue organized by Salafi Learning and Research Center, Calicut, on the theme, Religion in the Right Perspective. I'll be speaking in three different parts. First, the approach of the Catholic Church to which I belong, the openness towards world religions. Secondly, I'll be explaining the contemporary situation of the religion to put it in its true perspective. And thirdly, I'll be discussing on the concept of God in the Bible and in Christianity. The Catholic Church, to which I belong, encourages and promotes inter-religious dialogue, cooperation, and collaboration. The official teaching authority of the Church promulgated a declaration on the relation of the Church to the world religions in the Second Vatican Ecumenical Council held in Rome in 1965, in which the Church opened the new frontiers in the ecumenical and inter-religious dialogue. We have a Pontifical Council for dialogue with world religions in the Vatican, which encourages in-depth study of the world religions and is in constant contact with the leaders of world religions, especially Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. The official declaration on the relation of the Church to the world religions at the very outset explains the origin and the purpose of religion. I quote, "Men look to the different religions for an answer to the unsolved riddles of human existence. The problems that weigh heavily on the hearts of men and women are the same today and in the ages past. What is man? What is meaning and purpose of life? What is upright behavior? And what is sinful? Where does pain and suffering originate, and what end does it serve? How can genuine happiness be found? What happens at death? What is judgment? What reward follows death? And finally, what is the ultimate mystery beyond the human explanation, which embraces our entire existence, from which we take our origin and towards which we tend?" The world religions uncover, by way of well-defined concepts and exact language, to answer these questions. Then, the declaration summarizes the teachings of major world religions, and I would like to pinpoint only on Hinduism and Islam. I quote again, "In Hinduism, men and women, of course, explore the divine mystery and express it both in the limitless riches of myth and our Swamiji old explained, the Vyasa, Puranas, and accurately defined insights of philosophy, the Vedas, the Upanishads, and so on, various categories of religions already explained by Swamiji. The followers of Hinduism seek release, moksha, from the trials of this present life by ascetical practices, the yamas, the niyamas, by profound meditation, dhyana, nidhityasana, the jnana marga, and request to God in confidence and love, the bhakti marga and the karma marga. The Church's high regard for the Muslim brethren, they worship God who is one, living and subsistent, merciful and almighty, creator of heaven and earth, who has spoken to men through Nabis, the prophets, Adam, Noah, Ibrahim, Yaqub, Yusuf, Musa, Dawood, Sulaiman, Yunus, Isan Nabi, Muhammad Nabi, and so on. They tried to submit themselves without reserve to the hidden decrees of God. Just as Abraham submitted himself to God's plan, to whose faith Muslims eagerly link their own. Although not acknowledging him as God, they venerate Jesus as a prophet, his virgin mother, they also in honor, and even at times devotedly invoke. Finally, they wait the day of the judgment and reward of God following the resurrection of the dead. For this reason, they highly esteem an upright life and worship God especially by their prayer, iskara, alms deed, zakat, and fasting, especially during Ramzan. However, the Ecumenical Council of Bishops held in Rome admits the stand churches against Muslims in the bygone times. Over the centuries, many quarrels and dissensions have arisen between Christians and Muslims. The sacred council now pleads with all to forget the past and urges that a sincere effort be made to achieve mutual understanding for the benefit of all men and women, get them together, Christians and Muslims, and all the believers, preserve and promote peace, liberty, social justice, and moral values. And this, again, this background of openness and respect of the church towards the world religion, I would like to rethink the role of religion in the right perspective. Basically, religion is the expression of the spiritual experience. Every religion evolves out of an intense experience of the encounter between the divine and the human. The breakthrough of the divine spirit into human history finds concrete expression through culturally conditioned factors of human creativity. Since these factors are the rich variety, the self-revelation of the divine in human culture is articulated through diversity of religions. Thus we have the Semitic religions, the Judaism, the Christianity and Islam, the religions of India, Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism and Sikhism, the religion of China, Confucianism and Taoism, the religion of the former Persia, Zoroastrianism, or the religion of Japan, the Shintoism. There are basically four areas in which the spiritual expression experience finds its articulation in every religion: the creed, the cult, the code, and the community. There are the channels through which spirituality evolves into religion. In other words, these form the four corner pillars of every religion, the religious structure built on the foundation of spirituality. The creedal element for the deen of or the belief are the points of faith which the believers have to adhere to. Examine Christianity. The fundamentals of faith and belief in one God who is triune, the divinity of Christ, that is the Son of God, the acceptance of the Holy Bible as word of God, revealed and inspired by God, the belief in the eternal reward of the just, and the damnation of the unjust. Secondly, the cult. God is worshipped on the basis of grace of the core spiritual experience, which includes prayer, worship, liturgy, feast, festivals, pilgrimages, and so on. The code describes the ethical norms, the moral and the spiritual values enshrined in the Holy Scriptures, whether it's Quran, or Bhagavad Gita, or Vedas, or Bible, or Guru Granth Sahib. So we have the Holy Scriptures in response to the demands of the primary God's experience. The love of God, the love of neighbor, unselfishness, forgiveness, compassion, empathy, sharing, respect of human persons, service, sacrifice, and surrender, stands on. Fourthly, the community is the social structure through which the believers continue to participate in the experience of the original encounter with the divine. So the the believing community needs these symbolic elements to articulate faith, gestures. One needs language in order to develop and communicate one's thoughts and emotions. Through the four functions, the spiritual and religious community gets integrated with the social fabric of the life. As spirituality evolves into a concrete religion, believers get incorporated to certain social structures and attuned to definitive cultural expressions.
The language of creed develops a concrete conceptual framework which tends to be normative in articulating the faith experience. For the Trinity, the concept of God, the concept of Trinity, for example. In the realm of cult, rituals and rubrics evolve and fix the symbolic expression into pre-programmed operations, different methods of prayer, which reaches to the culmination in mysticism. The interpretation of ethical norms is laid down under legal prescriptions. We have, as I said, the code of canon law, or we have the Sharia of the Muslims, or the Manusmriti of Hinduism. Finally, the fellowship in the religious community is controlled by set patterns of governing offices. This is an inevitable sociological evolution. Inevitable because religion is, spirituality is development within socio-cultural modes of life's self-creation. In this process, extrinsic elements infiltrate into the sacred landscape of religion. Political powers, commercial forces manipulate religious feelings and expressions in order to safeguard their vested interests. Then what are the consequences? The theological reflections or the creedal formulations lose its alertness and get stagnated into a sort of dogmatism without being able to communicate an authentic God experience in the light of the Christian encounter. This dogmatism later extends to fundamentalism and fanaticism, which is widely spreading in the world religions today. The cultic expressions are devoid of the healing power of symbols when they end up in sterile ritualism, which will turn to superstitious and irrelevant rituals. An interpretation of ethical, moral norms does not promote responsible freedom, but adheres blindly to legalism, where religion becomes meaningless in day-to-day life. And finally, the social structures of community life get so much politicized that succumb to an oppressive structuralism, and later becomes sectarianism and exclusivism, disrupting other religions and other faiths. With this negative development, religion, which has to be authentic expression of spirituality, gets estranged from spirituality. The divine loses its transparency and becomes opaque in all four areas of religious expression: the creedal, the cultic, the ethical, and social. This tension is in fact one of the basic dynamics of the historical evolution of all the religions: the classical Brahminism, the royal Judaism, the politicized Buddhism, the imperial Christianity, and the expansionistic Islam are the phenomena in which this dichotomy took place in various epochs in the history. Hence, religion has to reorient continuously to its Christian purity and should become a liberative, a transforming dynamics of human persons and of a global humanism. Now, in Chinese, I will be just explaining the concept of God in Bible and Christianity. God of Bible is creator, the creator of heaven and earth, and all the books of the Bible, Catholics accept the 73 books, and other Protestant churches accept 66 books. All these books, the predominant concept of God, God is creator, God is creator and sustainer, and God is almighty And God is as well as compassionate, a kind, merciful God. At the same time, this Creator becomes the liberator. He intervenes in the history of mankind. He saves people. For example, when the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, God took initiative to save them from the bondage of slavery, and God liberated them and gave them the promised land through the leadership of Moses. So the God of Bible and Christianity is the God creator, the sustainer. At the same time, He is a liberator, and continuously He intervenes in the problems of mankind. So we succumb to God, supplicate to God, we encounter God in with deep and spiritual experience. Later, in the New Testament time, or the time of Christianity, this God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior, to redeem mankind from all the sins and consequences of sin, the death, the suffering, and the pain. And Jesus Christ, the Word of God, took flesh, and He is Emmanuel, God with us. This is one of the concepts of Christian religion. And God is Christ's Savior. He is the Redeemer of mankind. And Jesus sends His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He is a sanctifier. He continues to sanctify the humanity to repentance, the change of life, and these three concepts together, the Creator, the Savior, the Sanctifier, becomes the Trinity concept, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we experience the presence of one God who is triune, and encounter this God continuously, and expressed through prayer and adoration and worship, and we accept the revelation of God which we received through the Bible for a better life, serving others, giving help to others, continuously sharing with others to lead a more authentic, ethical, moral life, and we extend our service to the whole humanity. This is in summary, the concept of God: God Creator, God the Liberator, God the Savior, God the Sanctifier. Thank you.